When we begin to mention things like gifts of the Spirit, and you mention things like ministry gifts, you know, some folks just switch off and they move over to, it's Bible school instruction, this should be. I said it many times, and I remember I posted it on Facebook, and some folks were really disturbed at that statement, that Bible schools are a product of the lack of effectiveness of pastors. You will discover that there was no special school to train ministers in the Bible. Where ministers ought to be trained is in the local church. In the local church. There shouldn't be a special place. Those are the things that, I know that those who started then, had good intentions and thank God for their light, and we have been blessed by them either way. But you see, there's more light now. You see, most of those things create a division in the church. You begin to now believe that there is a call of God, something called the call of God, that you sense separately from being born again. Well, because you are born again, you are growing spiritually and you grow into ministry. Believers grow into ministry, as we have seen in this series. Okay? So, naturally, every pastor should teach his congregation about the gifts of the Spirit and about the ministry gifts. What is the ministry gifts of the operation? So, this is not a special knowledge for anybody. You must not be in the dark. Everybody who is born again must not be in the dark as touching things of the Spirit, as touching gifts of the Spirit. Sincerely, I must say this. I've been pastoring for quite some time now, and I can tell you that as far as 94, 95, I've been teaching the same things to people. I've never tried to separate people when we talk about this, the gifts of the Spirit. Because, let me now say this. The more we talk about things like this, the more awareness people are about service. And the more conscious they also have about the Spirit, things of the Spirit, and the more ministry we will birth in the church. I believe every pastor should draw his outline in the year and always include, like Paul did, the gifts of the Spirit as part of his teaching during the year. The gifts of the Spirit flowing with the Spirit, ministry gifts, regularly. There is no point trying to teach something new next year or the year after. After all, we still have one Bible. Amen. It hasn't been updated, upgraded, or reviewed, or revised. So there's nothing wrong in the emphasis of truth. The emphasis of truth. Daily. I said before, emphasis is where you birth conviction. You don't birth conviction by hearing something once. You hear it again, and again, and again, and again, then you are convinced. Then you are strong, of course, and of course, again, you are convinced. So these things are not taught to a special group. Look at Ephesians 4. Put your hands in 12. Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some apostles, verse 11. Okay, now don't forget that Paul was taking the church, from this particular church, from milk to meat. Alright? 1 Corinthians 3 says that he was taking them from milk to meat. So, that means this is not exactly meat, but it is not milk. We are taking you from milk to meat. And we're getting you accustomed to eating something that's strong, for you. Of course, that already shows you that what he was teaching them had to do with maturity. If you have not been taught these simple things, then you have not matured. If you are still in the dark about, if they ask you that, who is a prophet of God? Is that a prophet of God? And you cannot say. You know already in this church. Because somebody sees a vision and it comes to pass, it doesn't qualify to be a prophet. Because somebody hears things in the Spirit and he says things come to pass, it doesn't qualify to be a prophet. Because we have seen that Joel's prophecy has annulled that. That, he said, your young ones are see visions. That takes away the ministry of the prophet as one that sees vision. That was under the Old Testament. And we saw that when we brought the two ministries together, the prophet of the Old Testament and in the church today, in redemption, they are not the same. They are not the same at all. So, in Ephesians 4, he gave some apostles, notice this, he's writing to the church again, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That means he used words that they were familiar with. They were not unfamiliar with who a prophet is, who an apostle is, who a pastor is, who a teacher is, who an evangelist is. This is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, in bringing people to the point of growth, they need to be taught ministry gifts. They need to be taught gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you there? Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's get back. One of the simple things why this has to be done is because 1 Corinthians 12, 28 says that God has set some in the church. So if he has set them in the church, you know, if you look at Ephesians 4, let's look at that list again. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, we see the scope. Okay? We see the scope of the fivefold ministry. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28, we see them as operations. He uses the word he has set. What is a point? Has to do with power. He has set some in the church. Okay? First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues in the church. So that means in the church today, we have these operations present in the church. What are we doing? We are finding out. It's not our knowledge that sets them in the church. It's not our prayer. What we are being taught is so that we can find out. Now, I'll give you a simple thing. Look at the word we use, ignorance. It means to not be in the dark. So, what does light do? Light will shine on that which exists, right? That which makes manifest. That which already exists. So, what are we teaching? We are teaching what already exists in the church. So, why is the necessity of the light? The necessity of the light is so that we can find out. Besides our personal lives, then, in the lives of others, so that they can be of a blessing to us. That's the essence. So he set them in the church. So these workings, these operations are in the church. You know, somebody asked me a question when I was in university, and you know, he said that, can we, this was the question, and it was an intelligent question, but you know, maybe, okay, let me say that another question. He said that, can we use the same measurement of standard that we use for 1 Timothy 3 and ministry generally for campus ministers? And I said, why shouldn't we? I asked him another post. I said, why shouldn't we? He said, well, I said, are you looking at age or community, or God is a respecter of the location? He said, no. The truth of the matter is that we can actually have an apostolic office in the university. You understand my point? So, but maybe by observation, there was a lot of spiritual immaturity, and based on that, we didn't have it. You understand what I'm saying? So it has nothing to do with the age of the people there, but the spiritual maturity. Of course, by the time you read people like Timothy and quite a number of other people, you notice that that had nothing to do with the location, but the spiritual development of the person in question. That shows you something. In a campus environment, if people are well taught and read in God's word, will have the offices, these offices in operation. They will be in operation. The issue is light. It's not location. It's not age. It's light. The more light we have, the more insight we have about these things, there's more expression. There's more expression. Light is that which makes manifest. It makes obvious. So God has said these things in the church. It's in the church. So if we find the church anywhere, okay, God has set these things in the church. However, notice that we studied how it evolved in Acts of the Apostles. We first had the apostolic function, then it evolved gradually. We saw the prophets, then we saw teachers, then we now saw the other things when, you know, diverse operations. And it's the same way. That means that this ministry gifts will only evolve based on light. It's going to be based on light. The kind of light that is available to us. Some folks have grown up to be told that, and you know, I told you, when I talk about the prophet, that naturally, when you hear revelation, and particularly revelation, not only your trance, you know, receive revelation. And revelation is that Hebrews 2:4 that talks about which one? Wonders. You know, everybody likes wonders. You get it? Wonders. Naturally, you know, I know that young ministers, there are two offices that are attractive to young ministers: prophet and teacher. If you disagree, raise your hand. Prophet is wonderful. Teacher will dazzle you. Pastor, people really don't like pastor like that. Do you understand? Evangelist, for what? Do you understand? Because that one will take going to the unsaved. But you know, among the saved men, you know, you can do it and miss it. And you'll get it right one day. But you see, you don't have to do all that stress. Sometimes it's because you have the wrong information. Do you know that? Since we said the prophet is not the one who sees and hears, some people have been discouraged about trying to be a prophet. So that's just it. The issue is wonder. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? Some people believe I'm a prophet. Except God and myself. We both don't believe it. We're both told. You know, God is in me, you know. So we're both told. I said, God, say, I'm hearing it too for the first time. Yes, don't get yourself carried away. I told you the simple thing you should do is that just serve God. Amen. I told somebody, I said, the truth of the matter is that I'll tell you the kind of gift I know about myself. I said, 5 days till I depart from this earth. I said, and be rest assured, that will be about 95 to 100 years. I said, Pastor, I'll wait till that period. I said, why are you in the hurry? So you will know. Don't bother yourself. Just learn God's word. Now, listen to this. So the light you have is what actually brings expression. It is what you know that causes things to come to the open about you. Now, look at Ephesians. So we want to look at, I call them the fundamentals of operations. That is, this one you will never forget it. The fundamentals of the operations of God in the church. The fundamentals of the operations of God. The first thing that is fundamental to the operation of gifts of the Spirit is growth. Spiritual growth. Now, spiritual growth is, look at what is said to the... Now, let me ask you a question. Look up. Let me just throw this to you. Do we all agree that the Corinthian church had all the gifts of the Spirit in operation? I mean, in the sense of they knew about it. Let me tell you, we agree. We agree. Beautiful. We also agree, you know, that they had sufficient, you know, demonstration of the power of God. Do we all agree? But now, do we now all agree that for the Corinthian church, they knew very little about ministry? Who agrees? From what Paul taught them. Now, if you take ministry away out of 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6, can you have operations of God? Question now. Think. Don't answer very fast. No. Can we have operations of God? Look at it, 1 Corinthians 12. Look at it now. If there's no ministry, that is, ministry is when the other is edified. Don't forget, when there's edification and there is building up, then there's ministry. Apparently, when Paul told them that if there is no interpretation of tongues, the unbeliever cannot say amen. Apart from that, he won't be saved. That shows you that they were not exactly channeling the things of the Spirit towards getting people saved. So he had to teach them. Now, that shows you that there was not real ministry among those folks. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 12. I didn't say, I've not given you any answer, so don't jump to the conclusion. 12:4. Now, they are what? Eh? But the same. Go on. 5. Okay. Now, if these guys had the gifts of the Spirit, obviously they spoke with tongues. Obviously people prophesied. Okay. But He says, the same God worketh the gifts in the ministries. They have not developed to the point where each man will see himself as a ministry gift. You see, until that point, you will have like a childish demonstration of the things of the Spirit. It will be childish. Very, very childish. Those of you today, they believe that the power of God is to lay on people and they follow the power of God. It's a childish way of seeing things. It's childish. That means, you know, a child is always going to get excited. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's excitement. So that's still childish. Enjoying the excitement of talking in tongues and having a great time of fellowship with God at the detriment of people in the congregation. That's childish. Okay? So sometimes fundamental will be growth in operations. More light in God's word. Let me tell you something. Do you observe something? Look up. This is just an observation. And it will help you to understand what I'm going to say now. Do you know that when people begin to have demonstration of the Spirit, they are less attentive to teaching. How many of you observe it? When they'll be watching. It's as though for them, that is the zenith. That is part of the childish attitude. So they believe that, I gave word of knowledge, I gave tongue interpretation, after all, in that, and they're already calling me a prophet in his home, in his village. It's childish. The church in Corinth had people who spoke in tongues, okay? And they had revelation, 1 Corinthians 14:26, but they were folks being taken from milk to meat. So growth is very key. Because when you don't grow, something is going to happen. Look at this. Verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. Notice these words, please. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, this also has to do with your identity in the church. If you have discovered, for instance, you are always moved like this, you think you are like this, you are still a child. So there will be a toss to and fro about a spiritual infant. It will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Let's bring that to the operations of God. You'll be tossed to and fro, and before you know it, you know, people will begin to give you names, you begin to have some beliefs about yourself and all that. I mean, years ago, I had to bring up some boys, and I taught them this series, okay? It was 95, on gifts of the Spirit. We took it for 2 weeks every day, from in the morning, you know, there was a university strike, then everybody was at home, in the morning till evening. So I now traveled to preach somewhere. By the time I came back, they are giving themselves different ministry gifts. You know what I'm saying? Even with Nemo, Evan B, Prophet J. You know, because after that kind of series of teaching, before you know, you will go out, and then you bamboo somebody with word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then you see one or two things in your dream, or maybe in another, in your vision, and then you lay hands, and they say, you're already Evan B now, after a series of teaching. You get it? So I called them, I said, so where am I? That was what ended it. He said, Baba. Baba Shakes. The father of our spirit. So growth. You'll be tossed to and fro. Now look at 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in him in all things that is the head, even Jesus Christ, O Christ, whom the whole body, please observe 16 carefully, fitly joined together, and compacted, that by which every joint supplies according to the effective working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. So you see that growth will naturally bring out ministry. You will now begin to supply the grace of God available in you. That will be growth. There will now be a supply. And one of the things about growth is that it will stop being you. You will start having a body of Christ consciousness. So growth is very fundamental to the operations of God. The second thing will be exercise. What did I call it? Exercise. Growth. Of course, exercise is part of growth. That is, there will be an exercise of things. You know there are Bible schools that they will give you the Greek word, the Hebrew word, the Latin word, the Yoruba word, the tongues word for these things, but they will never have meetings where they're in operation. You know, I read one book by a man of God that I well respected. I respect him too, at least as a man of God. And he wrote about gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts. And I read these things. I mean, forget the light he had, but at least he mentioned them. And I asked the question, I said, but do these things, do they operate in your church? I asked him, he said, not really. He said, really, but it operates through him. And certain people, I said, you see, so why is he teaching you? So that you will know what he functions with. No. There has to be exercise of the gifts of the Spirit for there to be a development of operations. 1 Timothy 4:14. We're going to say something that when you are a minister of the gospel, I mean, you've grown to that point of ministry, and you seem to have backslidden. Sorry for using that word for you, man of God. You know, one of the easiest things to get yourself back in fellowship, you know, with the things you have known is exercise. It's not as much sitting you down to teach you again like that. It's exercise. It's to just get around where those things are in the flow. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift, okay, that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership, the presbytery. So he asks you not to neglect. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Sorry, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of our hands. The two things, instructions here, can only be answered by exercise. If you're not going to neglect something, that means you're going to use it. If you're going to steal something, you're going to bring it to operation. So these are the two things that deal with exercise. They have to be in operation. Now, notice this. And put it in perspective. Oftentimes, we have read that 1 Corinthians 12 and 4 says that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5 says there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. Now, 6 is where, for me, if I were you, I would meditate more on 6. Because 6 says there are diversities of operation. It is the same God that worketh all in all. You know what I'll say? Most times, many of us have seen gifts of the Spirit. I'll use it like a stream. We are used to a stream of flow. And human nature likes to stick to something like that. This is what it is. Some of us have defined certain gifts of the Spirit by the experiences that we have. But you see, there are diversities. Look at the gifts of healings. I taught it in Colossian Scriptures 2 years ago. That there was a man, for instance, who was the sick like this. Of course, based on somebody that known that used to do that, but let's forget the other side. Let's look at the one in our side. I was like this. And people are saying, eh? And someone asked me a question. He said, is that of God? Then he saw a sick person. He matched on the sick person. And the person got up from the wheelchair. And I smiled. This is a diversity of operation. Because we saw Jesus now. Jesus spat into somebody, his eyes, practically. Spat into clay and rubbed it. If you do that today, I can tell you they'll bring your name out in some of these magazines. Say strange wonders in Lagos. For instance, look at the issue of the garments. Of course, don't mind all these hungry people that say it's one prayer cloth. It's a lie. The garment of Jesus was not a prayer cloth. You understand? That was why they cast lots on it. It's a lie. Don't mind all those lie. It's just to get $10 from you. You say you come and give ten times $10. Why can't it be naira? Does God spend dollar? I was saying that the $58 magnet, business magnet, should allow us to do it in naira. You send 58, we'll give you 60 naira, so keep the change. Okay, there's extra two blessings added to it. But you know, Jesus' cloth, for instance, the issue of touching his name of his garment that demonstration was not known until then. It wasn't known. I pointed out to you before. It wasn't known. Peter's shadow was not known. It seems, listen carefully, that the operations of the gifts of the Spirit are based on the needs. Because if you look at 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, all this worketh the one and selfless Spirit, dividing to every man severally as it is needed. So that diversity is based on needs. Look, if it is water, that diversity will use to minister to you. Didn't Jesus have to ask somebody to go and wash in water? Was he not healed? If you do that one today, you are in trouble. Do you understand? There are sometimes where we just feel like, if it's word of knowledge, you know, I have to say, there is somebody here. There is somebody here. Look, that's how some people know word of knowledge. There's somebody here. Well, you see, I've had word of knowledge where I just said, June 12th, June 26th, praise God. June 26th, and that was all that fellow needed to hear. Sometimes a word of knowledge could just be like this. I'll just go to Nia and say, it's going to be Friday. And that's all. I don't have to say, Don't lie. Do you understand? Don't lie. But the Hagin told of a story that, you know, he was preaching, and as he was teaching, he just went near a lady, and he kept saying, glory to God. Wow, God is so real. The woman had a dislocated shoulder, and she got healed. That was a diversity in the teaching. Sometimes we're just like, when it comes to ministering to the sick, do you know everybody believe that you must lay hands like this? That wouldn't say, impose your hands. Say, lay it on the sick. You can just touch his clothes. Do you understand my point? There are diversities of operations. Sometimes when it comes to the way visions come to, the way they come will be different at times. It will be different. The way one another, sometimes one another can come like you are just in a meeting, and then I'll look at Toby, and something will just come to me. Do you understand my point? That's all. But they are based on the needs. You see, when it comes to listen carefully now. When it comes to, this is how it goes. The teaching of God's word deals, I want to put it in a very simple way. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, let me say it like this. It's like God comes to everybody's level. Everybody's level. Hallelujah. Everybody's level. If you go somewhere, and how you must minister to them is by the oil. Don't let's call it a stupid name. It's not called the anointing oil. There's nothing anointed about it. But the oil, use it. Don't say, no. And then start another lecture with the sick. on why the anointing oil is older than the Old Testament, you guy will die. You just conduct ceremony to. Praise God. Okay. So, don't get used. What I'm saying is, open your heart. I'm not going to do all this anyway. To diversities of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I'll close on this. Operations in meetings. I want to prepare you. I know that people here were maturing to the gifts, the ministry gifts in the church. A meeting is coming up. World Changers Conference. You don't have to be told. That is the kind of meeting where ministry gifts are birthed in gradual progression. Now, I'll give you some examples. I have a number, but because of our time. Look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. Now, you're going to open to five openings or four. Acts 13, Acts 11, Acts 21. Interestingly, Acts 2. Open to the four, just four. I'll give you a summary. The more believers gathered, and there were demonstrations of the Spirit, ministries were released. There was more ministry afterwards in Acts 2. After that, 3,000 got saved. More ministry was done. What would have happened in that meeting? There was the stirring of operations. In Acts 4, when they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, more ministry was done, verse 33. By Acts 5 too, we saw more results in that Peter's shadows were healing the sick. In Acts 11, remember that story where Barnabas was sent down from where now? From Jerusalem to Antioch, and then the prophets came. We only had Barnabas, okay? We had Paul who came in. We had the prophets, Judas and all them. Do you have also that? Immediately after those meetings, Acts 11, by Acts 13, we now had prophets and teachers. And notice, it did not say those were all the prophets and teachers, they were certain. Certain means that those were not all. So, the more meetings are held in the direction of the gifts of the Spirit, the more ministry gifts are birthed. Now, if you now go to Acts 21, the more meetings were held, we now heard about the four daughters of Philip the Evangelist. We will keep having men churned out for ministry work where we keep having forum for it. 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. And 26. When you come together, brethren, everyone has a psalm, had a teaching, had a tongue, had a revelation, had an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now, when that meeting goes on, we now have believers with tongues and interpretation, okay? We now have prophets in operation. Now, don't forget, everything came from coming together. When you come together, sometimes when we read 1 Corinthians 14, we forget that the emphasis of Paul was prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. So don't look at a special meeting, there is a Bible school. Prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. What happened in Acts 13? they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Then the Holy Ghost said. So, look up. Look up. No, right now. Listen. That means the stirring of operations will be in simple Christian activities for the ministry gifts. Prayer and praise. Sometimes, we are expecting one particular aspect of the meeting. No. Prayer and praise. Note this down. Where can I expect to be stirred? Number one, in the place of prayer. In the middle of World Changers, we have a prayer meeting. It's a directional prayer. You know, you like obviously, you're not coming, you're not going to pray for the sick, at least those who are there. We're not going to say, none of you have issues at home, let's pray. How many of you have job problems? It's about world evangelism. It's about the heart of the Father. You know, if we're going to measure the anointing of the Spirit, where do you think it will be heaviest? It's when ministers are gathered. You know the funny thing? It's not where you minister to the sick. It's not where you pray for those who have a financial problem. It's where the operations of God are stirred. Also, when the word of God is being preached and taught. I mention one now. When hands are laid by ministry gifts. 1 Timothy 4:14, Acts 6, Acts 13. There's a stirring going on. Something will happen. Lastly, when prophecy is being given, write this down. Operations, birth, operations. Operations, birth, operations. Do you observe that in 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul mentioned when the prophet will prophesy, he mentioned revelation. When ministry gifts have the demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit, oftentimes things are revealed about the plan of the head of the church for his body. Sometimes they are individuals, sometimes they are the church generally. Hallelujah. 2011 will be a year for plenty harvest of souls. Amen. And one thing the Lord is saying I have to do is to raise more laborers for the work. You know one thing you said to me a couple of hours ago? Is that we shouldn't get disturbed. I mean, we said this at the workers' conference earlier on that about, you know, somebody is doing this. Don't bother your head. Face your work. Amen. Don't be supervisor of what you are doing. You do your own. Sometimes people put their attention on what others should be doing and then what they should be doing. So there will be stirring of operations, and in meetings like that, particularly the times of prayer, those prayers are directed to birthing things in you. Just pray out the will and purpose of God. To pray out the operations of God within you. Amen. Because there will be a stretching forth of the hand of the Lord on people who will now stretch that same hand to the world. That's what happens. So, when people are gathered with the attention of ministry, operations, birth, operations. Be careful not to be found at the tape stand all the time. Be careful not to be found trying to make order, you know, get people to be orderly. Well, maybe just like elder than you be found prophesying in the room, but I can't guarantee it. Amen. One of the things that has affected my life the most is I've been at the right place at the right time. 1996, I was in one meeting and the meeting was scanty because people didn't come. The theme of the meeting was not attractive. They had put deliverance from household curses and all that. Ah, go God. We're talking about prophecy and gifts of the Spirit. And even in campus, I went there. And you know, as really was going on, the guy was preaching, he just turned to me and he was a friend. He looked right into my eyes. And I saw, like a garment, wrap itself around me. He saw it. So he now asked me a question. And I answered it. I mean, just a scanty meeting, you know. But the issue about that meeting was that everybody there had a ministry consciousness. There's always a difference. Like Pastor Lana was saying earlier, the ministry gifts are forever. They are forever. The Lord Jesus will keep releasing men for his harvest. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, workers of miracles, gifts of healings, helps and governments are in the church today. And as men will stand and yield to the power of the Holy Spirit, by the teaching of God's word, we'll have more men involved in the work of the gospel. As men will give heed to the warnings and stirrings of the Spirit, because we're in such a time where worldliness has eaten deep to the hearts of people. And you know, oftentimes the Lord resorts to young people who are fresh at heart to, you know, bring them into his work. But funny enough, people are bringing new things to young people. They are wasting the energy. But there's going to be a turnaround, amen. There will be a turnaround. There will be a turnaround. Because God raised the affairs of his church. Nobody controls the church of Jesus. And we'll see light, amen. Great light. Light that will reveal light. Light that would show and reveal things. I hear the Lord say to us, to almost everybody here, be less worried. Be not worried about tomorrow. Let your heart be particular about today. Fix your thoughts on his word and yield your heart to his Spirit. What makes many people stray away from the course that they have is the worries of tomorrow. Be not worried. Let your heart be stirred in his will and purpose. In the worship, God reveals himself. In prayer and praise, he reveals himself to us. And there's something about meetings like that. There will be a personal, a unique impression of things on you. There will be a unique impression of things on you. I trust the Lord that you will leave the collective acceptance of the ministry of the Spirit. And you graduate to a personal conviction of the ministry of the Spirit. Such that on your own, you are founded, on your own, you are established. You will not be relying on somebody's endorsement of the things of God. It will be personal. There will be a personal impression on you. You don't seek for light, you are the light. And that light is made manifest as you walk in the world more and more and more and more and more. There will be a personal impression on you. It will not be collective again, it will be personal to you. We trust the Lord for a release of operations that have not been seen in our lives. Great operations. Take the prayer time seriously. If you are growing tired, stir yourself and pray. You are birthing ministry. You are birthing a ministry that is going to touch the whole world. And the whole world is going to touch you. Amen. Amen. Satan is defeated. The church is getting stronger and stronger. We're never getting weaker and weaker. We're getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Jesus is in the church. No cares, no worries. Jesus Christ is in the church. I heard the Lord say to us that time has been shortened and the reign of light has been lengthened. And he says to us, quickly, 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 cut it short in righteousness. Quickly. Nothing should be done with complacency anymore. Everything should be done in haste, as though time will be no more tomorrow. Because time is being shortened. The world has not so long a time as you think. The unbeliever doesn't have the sign of time he thinks he has. Time has been shortened. So things must be done quickly. We're going to preach it now. We're going to pray for somebody to do it now. Time has been shortened. But the reign of light has been lengthened. That many men will find hope and rest in the light of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's just worship God.